With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome. Thank you very much for downloading the Manchester City Football Social. For this show, we can only manage to talk about three of the four competitions that we're currently in, you know, because there's a lot to cover and we've only got an hour. Yeah, so we've had to park the Premier League, but you will hear us talking about the FA Cup that we're still in, the Champions League that we're still in, and the Carabao Cup final that we're still in.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello and welcome to the Manchester Football Social. We're locked in until 7 o'clock. I didn't know I was doing that intro then, so I nearly missed it. I'm going to be honest. My name is Stephen McInerney. I'm here with the wonderful Ant and Natalie Pike until 7 o'clock. We're talking Manchester City Football Club all night. And it's back on the Blue Moon Rising Show. I've not said that for a long time, but it feels quite nice. Guys, we want you involved tonight. I can't remember the text number. Someone want to jump in and tell me what it is?
87711.
And the mobile phone number you want to ring in?
0345. Oh, pass tag me.
111-7625. You mean
there we go. It's a team effort.
It's you mean it's not effort. Etched on your brain yet?
Sorry. I'll make it up for next time.
At MCR Footy Social on Twitter.
So tonight we're talking about loads of things, mainly about how Manchester City are really, really good at cup competitions because we're in all of them still. Nat, how are you doing? You all right?
Yes, I'm wonderful. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to speaking about all of the cup competitions that we're in, having a little preview of the Schalke game. We've got Sam Lee, who's going to be coming on the phone. He is, of course, right now in Pep press conference over in Schalke, so he's going to be coming on the phone once that's ended to tell us what Pep's been saying. And then obviously we're going to look ahead. I don't know, Ant, is something happening on Sunday or
I don't know, hang on. So my mum's coming around, we're having a roast dinner. What else was there?
Oh, just some cup competition apparently, something like that.
No, it's a trophy, isn't it?
That's right. That could have gone on for a while. We are all heading down again to London.
Well, you
to
are. Wembley. I'm staying here. Yeah. I'm doing the show.
Do you know what? That felt like rubbing salt into your wounds. Ant is working the show on Sunday night, but Stephen and I are heading down to Wembley. So later on, we're going to be talking about that as well. But
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Life is good.
Busy, but we're going to start the show with
the FA Cup, I reckon. The draw has been announced. Obviously, it's a very favourable draw for Manchester City. We've got a team that many people would say, once again, is pretty easy. And those hot balls are doing us a favour, aren't they, according to some anyway. But the draw, we'll go through the draw once again. United have got Wolves away, City have got Swansea away, and then we avoid two Premier League teams in Palace and Watford, then Millwall get Brighton. And what's your take on that draw? Is it as good as people are saying? Though some people have been saying they would have preferred to get United out the way, kind of, you know, then maybe go for someone else in the final if we got there. What's your take on it all?
You see, the thing was, a couple of weeks ago, everyone was saying the next 2 weeks are going to define our season because we had Arsenal, we had Chelsea, of course, we had the game getting us to the cup final as well.
Yeah.
And then Schalke tomorrow, next stage in the Champions League. And but the thing is, like everything in football, we came through that really well. And I was dead nervous about it before, but now I'm just more nervous again, you know, because we got through it. And I'm like, it's still like there's still more things that can go wrong. And I think everyone keeps saying, oh, it's a potential slip. You could go wrong. And obviously, I think we've all got very recent memories of last year, not so long ago, against Wigan.
I never want to see the name Wigan again, ever. It haunts my dreams.
That's what I said on the Friday night show. On Friday, we were talking about the Newport game, and I was saying, I'm nervous. And everybody laughed at me. And I was like, because I can't get Wigan out my head.
I think for fans of a certain age, it's definitely a part of what makes us Blues, really, isn't it? That inbuilt cynicism and fear of lower league teams. We've been there as well. So
you say cynicism, I think it's just reality.
Reality,
experience.
Experience. Yeah. I mean, to me, the draw, like, we've got obviously Bersantolino next, City lad who wants to come back, but Swansea aren't in great form at the moment. They're 13th in the Championship. And it looks like we've got a decent route to the final now. I'm expecting we'll play a pretty strong team. Do we all go along with that, personally?
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing that's in our favour is... Pep's not likely to be caught out because he's taken the games very, very seriously. And for me, my highlight of the game was actually afterwards and what he said about it, because he came out and he said, you know, I get English football now. And it was almost like he wasn't complaining about it. He was saying it as a very positive thing. Normally we get these foreign managers, they'll come in and they'll talk about it and they'll complain about, I sound like a politician, they'll complain about, you know, that we're not getting the protection or the style of football that they're playing. But it was almost like he really enjoyed it, and he made no excuses for it. And to be fair, Newport were really, really good. I mean, what was it, 51 minutes before we managed to break them down? And that header in that first half as well, amazing.
From Emerson, according to certain commentators. Edison, even, as he's most likely called. I thought Newport did themselves... they just have a lot of credit, really. And it was a really nice touch as well with Pep inviting them in afterwards. And that's the kind of side of City that gets overlooked a little bit, that kind of classy side of Manchester City and Guardiola and the players. I mean, for me now, how this is an important trophy. Obviously, Pep hasn't won it, but is this kind of like a bit of a... Not a priority as such, given the... How do we balance all these trophies? There's so many, isn't there? It's like, where do you start?
That's such a good question. That is so tough. Because we really are in that fortunate position where we are in February, the end of February, and we're heading into March, looking at still being in four trophies, possibly having already won one trophy. It's insane. I don't know how you prioritise them. I mean, obviously, we're in the final of the Cup already on Sunday, so you want to win that now against a Chelsea side that, you know, was comprehensively beaten by us, and then even more amazingly, comprehensively beaten by United. So you're thinking that, you know, we should be able to... be certain favourites for that.
But I think if there's something we have learnt as City fans, it's complacency can be a real downfall. And I think, you know, psychologically, they've got a hell of a thing to turn around and get that team out on Sunday from a Chelsea point of view. And remember, this is in the last, I think it's just in this year so far, since January, February, only 2 months into the year, something like Chelsea have conceded 1.4% of all the goals they've ever conceded in the Premier League. It's mental.
Come on, City. Yeah. That's the City effect, isn't it, really, these days?
I like that, yeah. But on the favourable draw thing that you mentioned earlier, and I've seen, you know, as soon as it happened, you know, actually, my husband was one of those that said he wanted to draw United to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
As soon as it happened, though, you start seeing the tweets come through saying that we've had the easy draw again. Yeah. Now, the response, and I saw the Blue Moon Rising Twitter with the response I saw was brilliant. And it's just that, how can you say we get a favourable draw when we are through, we've been in so many draws, we're through to the final, we're through to the quarterfinal. You're saying we get favourable draws. Well, who did you draw in the semi-final, Liverpool? Who did you draw in the quarterfinal? Like, you're not in it because you didn't take it seriously. So don't give us flack now.
Are we now in a situation where we can actually take all these trophies seriously at the same time? Because you look at back to Pep's first squad, he had an aging bunch of fullbacks there, and now he has essentially got two players for every position. Apart from maybe the Fernandinho role, he largely does have a world-class squad full of quality players. And that's why we're seeing the likes of like Gundogan and Mahrez and Gabriel Jesus star against lower league teams because we have that depth. Are we now kind of in a situation where we can make a concerted run at all these competitions and it not be too affecting our chances in the Champions League or the Premier League?
Well, we already are. And that's where we are right now.
Is it the first
time,
though, we've been able to do this?
Well, yeah, I guess so, because this time last year we were out of the FA Cup by this point. It comes back again. Don't mention the Wigan. but I think, you know, it's a team that has been shaped and he's grown. And I think if anything, we've seen something happen in football, and just not just with Man City, but I think in the last couple of years, and for me it was really prevalent in the World Cup this year. The World Cup this year was not about superstars. It was about teams. It was about teams that really came together. And what we've seen, the difference, we just look across the road as well, what's happened with United, for whatever the reasons were behind that, they weren't a team before Christmas. And now they're playing like a team, and look at the difference that's having in their results.
Oh, I like that. I like that thinking. And we certainly are playing like a team. The team spirit seems to be great. The team bonding seems to be brilliant. And what I love about our team at the minute is that it's a team full of absolute world-class players, but none of them are bigger than each other, if you know what I mean. Obviously, KDB's world-class, David Silva's world-class.
Yeah.
And then you've got Bernardo Silva, who's arguably, and you know, as Pep said, one of the best players in the Premier League this season. It's a team of world-class players. So, yes, Stephen, I think we can fairly compete for four competitions.
I love the aggressive point of me drawing that as well. Yeah, I couldn't see on the radio, but it was so enthusiastic.
The difference between this season and last season is when people started talking about the quadruple, you know, Pep was saying no, the players were saying no, we were saying, oh, it'll be nice, but no. But this year, there seems to be this belief coming around about it. The question is like, where do you go from there? John's on the line. John, what do you think will happen if City go and win the quadruple this season?
Well, I think firstly, Man United fans will have a breakdown.
I like you, John, already.
And as someone who grew up in Scotland in the 90s, that would be very enjoyable for me to not hear about the treble from my pals anymore.
Well, that would be joy to us all.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I was saying to the guy earlier on, I do my coaching licences, and when you see a lot of people coming in from Europe to do their licences, a lot of them do talk about like retiring and finishing up in their 50s. Like, it's not like this. It seems like a pure foreign concept when we've seen like Wenger and Ferguson just keep them plowing into their 70s, and it just seems like a foreign concept to them. And I've seen interviews and I've read his book where Guardiola said that he would like to go back to Barcelona's B team before he's 60. So, see, unless he was going to stick around for 20 years at City and try and destroy Man U's title record as well, I just don't really see what else there is to achieve.
So you think in general that after, well, say the miracle happened, right, and the country turned blue and Manchester City swept the Porter Trophies this season. I mean, I'm praying for that day, but do you think then essentially if that happened, Pep would just ride off on this glorious Mancunian kind of covered horse thing into the sunset and like just disappear forever?
I think he would want a few back-to-back titles. I think he would want to try and get maybe four or five in a row of the titles and try and put that one to bed as well. And I think he'd like to see... I think you'd like to see Foden probably develop as a wee bit of a player, because you don't want something like Phil Foden to appear in your first team and then you don't get to see the benefits of him when he hits 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because Pep is obviously quite an emotional person in the best possible way, in terms of I think he'd like to be there and blossom and see Foden blossom into a first team player. I mean, I'm personally, and I throw it to the guys in the studio as well, I personally... If we did win, I mean, it's a glorious kind of vision of the future if it happened, so I wouldn't complain either way. But if we did do that, I mean, I think Pep would stay around, because I think he would see it as a start of something special, you know, as opposed to a closing chapter.
Well, if I was to put myself in his shoes and it was me, and, you know, I've just won Premier League for the second time in a row, Carabao Cup for the second time in a row, FA Cup, and then the Champions League, I'm out. I'm just stopping. I'm going to live off that for the rest of my life. I'm just going to walk away, because if you do that, literally, you will never pay for another drink again, right? But it's like that.
Are you going to stop being a City fan then if you win the quad? Is that what
I'm not going to be stopped. Well, I might just, you know, the time stops. I'm there and I'm happy. And you know what? That's what more can you do? Because after that, it can only go downhill.
John, do you think we've got a chance?
I think he's a very good chance. I'm just laughing because I go down to Manchester a lot for gigs, and I know a lot of Man City fans, and I'm just laughing thinking, see, if City do win four trophies, there'll still be City fans talking about that playoff final.
That's so true.
Hey, don't say anything about that playoff final.
There'll be people moaning about Gundogan still somehow or something like that, but that's what we do, really. I think that's what makes us, I like to think, quite charming in a way. You know, like, we're eternal pessimists with an optimistic streak. That's the way I like to see it.
Yeah, of course, it could all go wrong tomorrow now. You know, we have a terrible first leg.
No, that's not happening.
Oh, pity.
Just see when you've got a bench that brings on David Silva. I honestly felt sorry.
I know, yeah. And in that game when we played Burton and we were 9-0 up and we were bringing world-class players on, yeah, totally. But thank you, John, thank you so much. Best of luck with all your coaching licences. Hopefully we'll see you managing someone in the future.
Hopefully. Thanks very much for having us on.
Thanks, John. Bye. Phew, do you know what? When you asked him there what you think could happen if we won the quad, in my head I suddenly started to think, what, is someone saying Pep's going to leave? Oh my God, is Pep going to leave?
Oh, did you have a slight kind of fierce flashback?
Yeah, yeah.
Just some PTSD.
But the reality is one day he will have to leave.
No, he won't.
No.
But don't you think it would be better if Pep left on his own terms, like he's done before the other clubs he's managed, rather than get into a situation where the expectation was too great, maybe we had a season where we didn't pick anything up and there was pressure from certain parts and he left under a cloud? Or, God forbid, as happens in the Premier League with money, he was fired.
I'm cryogenically freezing him. That's what I'm doing. He's going nowhere. Do you remember like Futurama? Where he had the seven heads in glasses. That's what I'm doing. That's my plan with Pep.
I didn't think Futurama. My image then in my head was Austin Powers. And just Pep coming back in 50 years going, baby.
See, in my head, it was Star Wars. That tells you a lot about all three of us.
Well, there we go. There's a generational divide there. But I think we're a long way from worrying about Pep Guardiola's future anyway, because at the moment, the present is really, really glorious. I mean, for me, I'm looking forward to... I'm looking forward to all these games, essentially. But this Sunday, obviously, we'll get onto that soon. But finally, I mean, what's your take on Swansea in particular as a team in general? Will we get past them?
Yeah, I mean, as always, it's ridiculous. I can sit here and say we're a team of world-class players. We're playing amazing. I think we can win four trophies. And then all of a sudden, I think about a cup competition and a lower league team, and I start panicking. And we've said it a few times. It's that Wigan effect. Yeah. I think they're probably the best team we could have drawn, absolutely. And I also think we'll take it deadly serious. We'll put a full team out. We'll take it serious. And we'll hopefully win. Oh, God, Anne, I don't even like saying it out loud.
But I think the fear is there is because we've had really big slip-ups in the league this season. Obviously, you know, Palace came from nowhere, shocked us. Then we had Leicester. And then, of course, Newcastle as well. That came from nowhere and really shook the balance. And the in the league, you can come back from that, which we have. Right, and we're still, it's only on goal difference, but we're back on top. But in a cup competition, if that happens, if we'd had Palace in the cup, that was my fear of getting Palace in this round, just because of that psychological effect. Because if you slip up in the cup competition, that's it, it's game over, you're out of it.
Wigan!
It's like Beetlejuice, don't say it three times.
Well, so that's the FA Cup well and truly covered. We're feeling massively optimistic. We're happy with the draw. And we're all good in the studio. Now, there's another competition that obviously we're in that we'll be playing tomorrow night against Schalke. And that's that little old elusive Champions League. So we're going to talk about that thoroughly in a minute. And hopefully we'll be getting Sam Lee on the phone who can tell us what's happened at Pep Guardiola's press conference.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
So good evening in the studio tonight. Steve McInerney, Natalie Pike and myself, Ant McGinley. It is the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. If you want to get in touch and get your airs viewed, no, your views aired. Is that the right way?
Airs viewed?
I've overall, really.
Either.
Yeah. Prefer, yeah.
Spoonerisms all the way around. 87711 on the text. You can get us on social media at MCR Footy Social or 0345 111 7625. Gets you through to our very handsome James on the phone. And we'll even call you straight back if you like. So we're talking all things City, as this is the City Show, and it's a good time to be a City fan.
It's glorious.
It is glorious. We're still in four... We were talking about this. We're in four competitions, but they're not all cups, because three are cups and one's a trophy, even though the one that is a trophy is a cup, which is the Premier League.
I feel like it's probably the most boring discussion we've ever had, but it's valuable, yeah. Yeah. And then we started talking about plates, so...
So yes. Sam, I think we've got Sam Lee on the phone waiting. Is that right? Sam, how you doing, man?
Yeah, not too bad, cheers. Not too bad. Not too much I can wade in with on the old trophy versus cup debate.
I say it's all silverware.
Be as helpful as possible.
Sam, yeah, now you're over, obviously, in Schalke, is that correct, for the for the game tomorrow? And you've just been to the press conference.
Right.
And what I know Pep can be in funny moods at some press conferences, and you've been the butt of some of his... polite kind of phrases, put it that way, sometimes. What kind of mood was he in ahead of this game?
Playful, I think.
Oh, that's good.
Kind of entertaining, light-hearted Pep. He did the classic thing of, I mean, if you follow his press conferences, you'll have probably seen, you know, you'll think he's finished answering, someone else will go to ask a question, and then he'll just carry on and carry on. And he might even throw in a couple of barbs just for good measure. So he was asked a straightforward question about Gabriel Jesus and Stones being injured. And he explained what the problem was, and then he carried on this long thing about, oh, yeah, they played 25 games in 3 months. At the end of the season, they'll have a couple of weeks off because, you know, otherwise we'll be accused of destroying the competition. So we'll go to China, we'll have to, you know, take the game seriously because it's against Premier League teams, and then maybe FIFA will invent another competition just so the teams can play a bit more. So it was that kind of Pep today. He was not irritable and not moody or anything like that. Just, yeah, playful, I suppose. And maybe that reflects a bit of confidence in the game tomorrow.
So other than a couple of players that are out there, so Stones and Jesus, did he say if it was serious or was it just like a, you know, a week or two kind of thing? Do you think they'll be involved in the Carabao Cup final?
He said not big problem, but big enough to not travel. So okay. He didn't rule them out or in for the weekend, but it doesn't sound like they're definitely out at least.
Was there any general kind of questions or about his approach for this game and how you'll take Schalke? Because obviously they're not in great form at the moment in the Bundesliga, but it's the Champions League and I know how much he respects the competition.
Well, I suppose the best way to sum it up was De Bruyne was in the press conference as well, and part of one of his answers was, you know, we're always going to play the same way with Pep. Everyone knows that. It's not going to change. So that's probably answers the question for tomorrow. And Guardiola himself said, you know, the aim is obviously to play a good game, but to score. He says, you know, we need to score a minimum of one goal. And he was asked another point about away goals and all that kind of thing. So, you know, he knows the importance of that. And City are obviously going to attack and try to play their game and have the ball. I'm sure he'll be cautious of the counter-attack because, you know, he played here a couple of times. And I think he mentioned in German when he was at Bayern, he suffered a couple of times in the stadium. But, you know, the counter-attack's always an option against City and he always guards against it pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, I think he must be pretty confident of a win. And, yeah, to answer your question, I think he's going to go and attack.
And did he have some special words for Bernardo Silva?
Very special, yeah. It's one of those moments where it's like, find a guy who loves you as much as Guardiola loves Bernardo Silva kind of thing.
It went on
for ages. Like there was, yeah, I think it was a Portuguese reporter who asked him about Bernardo Silva and whether he'll be the next big star of the Portuguese national team. And he started off saying he is the big star already.
Go on, Pep.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that goes back to, you know, when he was talking about the best teams of the last decade, and, you know, he didn't mention Madrid, and in Madrid they all went mad. So I wonder if they'll do similar now because he hasn't mentioned Ronaldo. But yeah, and then he carried on talking about Bernardo, and it was all, you know, I'm such a lucky guy to have him. He's a lovely guy. You know, even if he knows he doesn't do well sometimes with the ball, he runs more than everyone else. I'm lucky to have him in all the training sessions. I mean, I typed it all out on Twitter, but I can't remember now. But all I remember is he finished off again for the second time saying he's a lovely guy, and he actually said the words, I love him, at the end. So,
that's so sweet.
It was a proper love note for Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, it's still Valentine's is still in the air. I can go with that.
No, it's not far away, is it?
Yeah, Sam, it's Ant. Can I ask you, is there any sort of sense of any danger posed from Schalke that we should be aware of? Anything we should be looking out for?
Oh, God. I mean, No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't want to come on and be one of these kind of arrogant British reporters who thinks, you know, this lot have got nothing to hurt City. But, I mean, look, if they get their act together as a team and they come up with some kind of plan to press City and cut off spaces, and I was saying this to Fee on the show last night, you know, teams have kind of found a way to have a bit of joy against City with that. You know, Newcastle a couple of weeks ago, but generally in the Champions League, you know, even Hoffenheim gave City a tough game in Germany in the group stages. Lyon did twice. So, you know, I wouldn't rule out Schalke completely, but there's no real danger, man. You know, there's no star player they need to keep an eye on. I don't think there's anyone like Leroy Sané, for example, who was obviously there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They're not doing particularly well in the Bundesliga. They certainly weren't before their break. They come back and they had a big draw, and then they were just a goalless draw of the weekend. So, I mean, in all honesty, they're not up to much. And given how good City are. I think it might be tight going by that Hoffenheim game and the Lyon games. But if City get into their groove, and even if they don't, I still think they're going to have too much. And, you know, if Guardiola's talking about away goals, I certainly think they'll get at least one to take back to Manchester.
You're obviously out there working, Sam. You're a journalist. You work for goal.com. You're there now. The game's not till tomorrow. Are you fancying you're going to have a little drink out with some of the City fans? Have you seen many around in Schalke yet for tonight?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. Normally, that's exactly what I do. And normally, I'd be out of this press conference already. But it's all a bit spread around this trip. Flew into Dusseldorf, and the press conference is in Essen. I'm staying in Gelsenkirchen, or south of Gelsenkirchen. So, not a big night plan tonight, I don't think. But I might keep an eye on the Liverpool game. It's actually a game I want Liverpool to win, but without actually having to, you know, see it. I think the chances of Liverpool not winning the Premier League would be helped by them going further in the Champions League. So I'd quite like them to win.
Oh, I see. That's an interesting take.
I don't want to actually support them in any kind of meaningful way. It's a weird one. I'd rather just watch Barca against Lyon, because like I said earlier, Lyon are a decent side and Barca are Barca, so that'd be interesting. So, after this, we'll do the usual press conference thing of somebody Googling an Irish bar. And we'll go there, I imagine.
It's always an Irish bar.
Sam, quickly back to that Liverpool thing. Back to the Liverpool point, because I've seen a few people say this about the best chance for City to win is if Liverpool are distracted in terms of they go further through. But I kind of personally subscribe to the theory that Liverpool are quite an emotional club, and for their strengths. But that if they lose and they go out of the Champions League, having one thing to focus on could be a bit too much for them to take, because there's so much pressure on it. Like, I mean, is that a naive view from myself, or do you see it differently than that?
I don't think it's naive, mate. I just see it differently in the sense, I agree with you in terms of the passion and kind of the pressure that might bring, but I also think that a lot of proper physical factors of having to have a big game and, you know, the mental factors of preparing for it.
Yeah.
You know, they can't think about United now at the weekend. They've got to think about Bayern Munich. They've got to take that seriously. Then they've got to go and play at Bayern Munich. And you talk about them being like an emotional club. I guess they're going to play 100 miles an hour tonight like they did against PSG. And surely from City's point of view, the longer they have to do that, if they've got to prepare a game against Real Madrid in April, which is, I think, when the next round starts, I think that would be the best bet for City, because you don't want them putting their feet up thinking about, I don't know, a difficult away game or wherever they have to be. You'd rather they were having to think about how they're going to stop, you know, Gareth Bale and Benzema and Vinicius Junior and people like that. So, I'm definitely of the opinion that the longer Liverpool go in the Champions League, the better for everyone, as long as they don't win it.
Do you think it's a case of maybe like blind optimism versus incredible pessimism, in that a lot of Liverpool fans passionately believe that they are the best team in the world, even though they haven't got the trophies to back it up recently? Whereas for a lot of City fans, we've got the trophies in the last 7 years to back it up, yet we've still got this mindset of it's going to go all wrong at some point.
Oh, well, I think this is a deep psychological study of the human psyche, I think. I'm not really sure where I'm qualified to go into, especially as I don't support either club. I don't want to stray into offending everyone, although I did just spend the last couple of minutes saying I don't want Liverpool to win anything this season. I just think it's a bit of a quirk in the mentality of the two fans, isn't it? You know, City fans are very self-effacing, is that the word, is that the phrase? Very down to earth and, like kind of just negative and generally pessimistic, as a general fan base, I think. But, in an endearing kind of City way, I hope you appreciate what I mean by that. Whereas with Liverpool, you're right, it's the complete opposite. It's all, they are the best, they're the best fan base, and, you've got to come to this game early and bring all your flags and blah, blah, blah. And, they do that, and they get a good atmosphere for these big games. Whereas if you do that at City, people aren't that bothered. It's just kind of like, we'll turn up whenever we want. If we miss the first 5 minutes, then whatever. And, it's just a difference in the fan base. And I suppose what you'd rather have is the best team and the fan base, who are true to themselves, rather than the second best team and the fan base who are trying to overhype everything, I guess.
Sam, I said a minute ago I was nervous about Swansea. I was nervous about Newport at the weekend. And then in another breath, I know that we're absolutely incredible. But you just can't get rid of that sort of... I don't know if it's pessimistic, but that kind of... I remember what it was like growing up.
It's not unique to City either. It's just one of those football fan things, isn't it? Everyone kind of thinks... Everyone thinks their football club does things the hard way. How often do you hear that said? But every football club fan thinks that. And I'm sure most fans think if there's a big game, they're going to lose it. That's just how... Well, maybe it's a British thing, but that generally comes into it. But Liverpool are kind of... different end of the scale when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Sam, thank you very much for calling in from Schalke, or Gherkin, I can't even say that word.
Gelsenkirchen.
Go and find an Irish bar somewhere, because you have earned that pint, I reckon.
Yeah.
How international is this show? Live from Manchester to Germany to an Irish bar.
Sam, thanks very much, mate.
Lincoln curry place around the corner.
Oh, really? Well, there we go. Go enjoy your curry, Sam.
Thanks,
see you later,
Sam.
Mate.
Awesome, guys.
So, guys, essentially, as we talked about for the past 10 minutes there, Schalke is an absolutely huge game for Manchester City, and they aren't actually in great form. So if you don't really know, I'll give a bit of background on the current form. They're 14th out of 18 teams in the Bundesliga, so I've lost myself in the headphones there. I'll just come back again. 14 out of 18 teams in the Bundesliga at the moment, so they're not in great form in general. They're a team that's struggling to create chances and score goals. Obviously as well, though, there is a bit of a link, isn't it,
there's a couple of links between them, because you've got I'm still struggling to say his name now. Matthias Nastasic.
That's the one.
Yeah, so and you know what? When he was here, I really liked him as a player, but all I can remember about him now when I was thinking about it today is just that one moment, I think it was against Chelsea, where Joe Hart came running out for the ball and he headed it, and it was towards the end of the game and it was an own goal. And I just remember how angry Joe Hart was. And it was like somebody shouting at their dog. You know, there was that kind of, you know, when the dog's done something really bad, and it was that kind of thing. And he seemed to kind of be painted with that, and he's left. But I think he's done all right since he's gone to Schalke, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done okay in general. He's kind of found his level, in my opinion. I think he was a young talent that did pretty well for a while, but couldn't quite match up to City's level. And obviously, they got the old boy Leroy Sané as well now. Like, he was their wonder kid, and we took him for what looks like a bargain, 40 million these days. I mean, to me, he's got to start now. Can you see him? Maybe at the moment, he's not a guaranteed starter, is he?
You have no idea what team we're ever going to start with, do you? Even in this instance where you would think that Sané going back to his old club, you know, obviously he knows the club, he knows German football, would be a great move. You know, there's always, generally when you go back to somewhere before, there's always a feeling that you want to show them how good you are and, you know, impress the fans and impress all, you know, all the staff and everything. But I've genuinely no idea what team we're going to start. I mean, when we played Arsenal and we all seen the team, I don't think you were able to actually work out the formation until we actually started playing. And then you were like, well, Fernandinho's a centre-back,
isn't he? False centre-back.
Like, what?
Zinchenko, so, left back at Chelsea out of nowhere.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to play a false goalkeeper. That's going to be the next one, isn't it?
Edison's invented that role a long time ago. He pretty much owns it.
Well, there's somebody else. There's another link as well. And somebody I reckon he's got to play at some point tomorrow is Gundogan, because he was actually let go by Schalke.
What?
As an 8-year-old.
Wow. The knowledge. Yeah.
What possibly was his problem at 8? Like, not physical enough or something? Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, just too many smarties or something. I don't know what it was. Maybe he just wasn't paying attention, but whatever reason.
Revenge for Gundogan.
So, and he's joked about this, but there is that curse of the ex-player. So if you look at it that way, and the ex-player always scores, it's going to be 2-1 to City, because they've got one of ours and we've got
actually,
two of theirs.
Actually, I'm going to correct you there politely. They've got another one, Rabi Matondo, a young lad that he signed from us in January, who made his first Bundesliga start at the weekend, a young Welsh international, a lightning quick winger, which gives me terrible thoughts, because you remember when Patrick Roberts came back to City with Celtic and he scored.
Yeah.
I've got real fear of Rabi Matondo, and he was very polite about City today as well, actually, in the press. He said that it's a great club, great team, he just wanted to go somewhere and get a chance because he felt he's ready for it, and he got it. So there is that kind of fear in general of that young lad coming back. But I mean, to me, just looking at their form at the moment, looking at where they are in the league, we kind of don't really slip up often these days. I'm touching any form of wood I can find in the studio, but in general, we do
you're
tend
saying
to be,
that in a season that we've lost against Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Lyon and Leicester.
And
absolutely smashed Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not out of any cup competitions yet.
But that's because we've been lucky in that we've lost games in competitions where we can lose them. We lost in the group stages of the Champions League, and we've lost league games in the Premier League. Knockout competitions was the problem last season. Wigan, again, for the 18th.
Oh my gosh, how many times have we said that?
But it's true. And so
at least we've got two legs, though, we've got away goals in this instance.
So if it is like all the ex-players score, it will be 2-2, and I'll be quite happy with that.
2-2, great. So there we go. So that's the Champions League. We've done the Champions League. We've done the FA Cup. We've kind of decided randomly, can you believe it, to park the Premier League for this show, because there's too much to talk about. So the only one left to talk about now is the Carabao Cup. And that is the cup final that is, of course, taking place on Sunday. And we'll also have a mention, because it's not the only cup final that's taking place this week, as you will all know. City Women are also in the final of their League Cup. So we'll have a look at those when we come back.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello and welcome back to the Manchester Football Social. My name is Stephen McInerney. I'm here with Mrs. Natalie Pike and Ant McGinley talking about Manchester City Football Club. We've got about 15 minutes left here. You could get involved if you still want to. 0345 111 7625 and 87711 on the text if you want to get involved. Now, we boxed off the FA Cup, we boxed off the Champions League, no time for the Premier League, but there is one big game still ahead of us at the weekend. It's the Carabao Cup final, the reigning champions, Manchester City. And to me, this is a big game because, one, I'm going, so I'm looking forward to it. And so is Nat in the studio, and unfortunately, we'll be here behind the mic.
I'm really worried about this because you're both going to Wembley for that, and then we've just had Sam on, who's in Germany, and it's like, I'm always stuck here holding the tea and the biscuits.
Tiny violin right now. You'll be all right. But anyway, this is a competition that many people, in my opinion, they look down on a little bit. But for me, you get to win a trophy, you know, in mid-February, you know, towards the business end of the season. And I like this competition. I think it's fun. Yeah. You see different things. You see a young players play, you go to some teams that you wouldn't normally go to. Nat, are you excited for this game?
Love this competition. Love this. I love any competition. I went really super high pitched then, didn't I, by the way? Wow. Sorry. Yes, your glass broke there. I apologise. That's how excited I am about this final, though, because any competition that takes you to Wembley is special for me. And although I'm going to put in brackets with the exception of the semi final of the FA Cup.
Yep.
But we can probably, hopefully, we'll be talking about that in a few weeks' time and I'll tell you why I hate the semi-finals at Wembley. But anyway, any competition that where the final takes you to Wembley, I am a big fan of. I love a Wembley trip. I love a trophy. In February, the momentum and the positive feelings that gives you as a club to have won a trophy already, I love it.
Winning breeds success, in my opinion. Winning breeds winning, because teams that are serial winners, they get that taste for it. And it's like a drug, they want more of it,
momentum,
don't they?
Momentum.
Yeah. And for me, it's a massive part of what makes being a football fan so much fun. Going to Wembley down there, not to rub it into one once again, but it's just so much fun. I cannot wait for it.
The thing is, you've got to remember as well that this is not the first time we've gone to Wembley this season. We've already been to Wembley and won back in October against
Chelsea.
Against Spurs.
Oh, sorry, I thought you went to the Community Shield game.
No.
And so the Community, my goodness.
So there we go. So we've already been to Wembley and won twice. And then the opponents that we've got coming up, we just played them the other week, thrashed them 6-0. They look like they're falling apart. They've gone out of the FA Cup again. Sarri is on the ropes. He's fighting for his life. And I'm really worried about this. Not because I think he's an animal in a corner and he's got lots to fight for because he's fighting for his job. I don't want it to be all one-way traffic because that's not what a cup final should be.
I want to spank him. I want to humiliate them. I'm not going to lie. I want it 6-0 at half-time because that would be fun.
Okay, what's your favourite ever game as a City fan?
Oh, yeah. He's got us here.
Obviously when we won the league or even once again the playoffs. But
right, anything from your top 10 games. Like, for example, coming back against
United,
Spurs
6-1.
In the FA Cup. Yeah, all right, that was a little one-sided. And that was...
Well, we played Huddersfield and we won 10-1.
All right, but it's a cup final, and I want it to. I want a little bit of drama. I want it to be like a little tension, a little up and down. I don't want it to be just like, oh, here we go again, another goal. I mean, great for the players, and we've got a system that can do that. We've got players that can do that. But as a cup final, I want it to be more of a spectacle.
for me, I see the way I see it is that regardless of how you win the trophy, it's about winning the trophy. So if you win comfortably, essentially what it does mean is that we can start being nervous a little bit towards the end of the game. And we also send a message once again, because to send a message to the rest of the Premier League, to Liverpool in particular, and to Swansea and everyone else we're going to play, is that we're really focused. I kind of get where you're coming from, but for me, I want to make a statement. And I think that's the best way we can scale Liverpool at the moment, by making statements.
Yeah, I agree on that. Ultimately, though, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want to win the trophy. I just want to take the trophy. If it's the most boring 1-0 game ever, I'll be like, oh, well, we won the trophy.
Here's one for you. Because now, essentially, last season we saw Claudio Bravo start in the final, and obviously Caballero a few years back. A lot of people have been asking around on Twitter and saying, like, obviously Muric has been playing in goal during the Carabao Cup games, and Foden has been a big part of the competition.
Yeah.
Is it a bit unfair if all of a sudden they're dropped to the bench, given you know, how integral they've been to this team so far? Because that, for me, is a difficult decision, because Foden recently hasn't been in a lot of the squads because of the strength, the depth we've got there. But for me, I don't know, it'd be a little bit harsh if he wasn't involved at all. And Muric surely has to start.
Well, I think the thing is, from the Foden point of view, I mean, every game he's playing, he's putting goals away. I mean, he's in form when he's... No, I don't mean when they bring him on for the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But when he's getting a game, I mean, he's scored... Carabao Cup, he scored in the FA Cup as well. I think Premier League's the only competition he's not scored in, but he's not had that much game time, and he's done all right in the Champions League as well when he's been on. So I think Foden, it would be great for him, and it would be great as well, again, from the spectacle, to see that young English prospect as well. Potentially, you know, people are already talking about him as a career as an England international, potentially captain all one day. Oh, that's pie in the sky. But it would just be great as well. As City fans, as somebody that now lives in Stockport as well, just be great to see that local lad going there and taking it to Wembley and doing
it. No, but it's true.
Oh, idiots.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I'm kind of on the fence again. I can see it from what you're saying. It would be unfair. I imagine it would be quite demotivating for them to play in all the games and get taken out
in
a cup final.
I think Muric will start.
But then on the other side, like, I really want to win this. And regardless of what's happened, like you were saying, Chelsea, they're going to come out at us. They're going to want to... This is their chance to turn the season around for them. At the minute, the season's looking like it could be an absolute disaster for them. But they win this and it turns it around. They're coming out to get us back. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, we've got to put the best team we've got out there, and that's Edison.
Edison and no Foden, I guess, by your own admission there.
But the mentality might be like that with the players, but what we've seen in terms of a manager with Sarri, and we saw it again, I don't know if you watched the FA Cup game yesterday with United, is he just stuck to his guns. They're 2-0 down, and he brings off a defender, brings on another defender, because that's his system, that's the way he plays. And if Pep's worked him out and can do that, actually, you know what, you know, bring Muric into the game, bring Foden into the game, you know, bring the academy kids into the game, because he's worked out the system. We'll wipe the floor with them. If it's
no!
his system.
Safety first, boys. Safety first. We've got to win.
Wild opinions in this game, man. I'm enjoying it.
This is why I'm not the manager yet. But one day.
For me, I think a healthy compromise for Foden would to be in the squad in general, because he has got us there. To not be in the A-team would be a little bit harsh. And if it means a senior player missing out, personally, as an academy advocate, I think that's fair. I think he's been a big part of it, so he should be involved in the squad. And I honestly think Muric might start, because I think he did it with, you know, Claudio Bravo last season, though he was more senior, admittedly. And
Bravo played such a big part in that competition all the way through that as well.
Penalties as well.
Yeah, going back to Wolves as well, with the penalties and the saves that he did in that game that got us through, which was probably the closest we came to not winning that competition, was the game with Wolves. So Bravo was so important, and I was very sad to see him pick up that any player getting injured, especially the Achilles that he had at the start of this season. But I know he got a lot of bad press in his first season, but that was really good for him. I thought that was nice for him to show what he could do.
Here's one for you, Vincent Kompany. Now, obviously, he's back in training at the moment. He seems to be fit once again, which seems to happen every single time we get close to Wembley. He's got this kind of ability just to get fit again near Wembley. You think of last season when he played and surprised a few people with his performance against Arsenal. Like, he was keeping up with Aubameyang, who's an absolute whippet of a player. I think he might be a surprise star if he's fit. I honestly think Pep values his leadership in these kind of games.
Love Vincent Kompany, and I feel like Vincent Kompany is really clever with his own fitness and his own ability at this stage. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we haven't seen him for a bit. He comes into the cup final, he's the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, that's Vinny in it.
It might be moving towards the way it used to be with Spurs and Ledley King. I think potentially what we're going to have is, because really the last big game that he had impact with was Liverpool. And that was some. I mean, I want to say an impact. Oh yeah, I want to say impact. He nearly left his legs in somebody on that game. But I think we're going to see. I think we're going to see him on Sunday, right? And I think we're going to see him in a couple more games in the Premier League. United derby, definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
And, whenever that's going to be.
And then in big Champions League games, he will be there. And I think that's, you know, because we've got the cover around it, but I think he brings so much, the presence, the power.
Yeah, it is worth reminding people, as you mentioned there, that the Manchester derby was supposed to be on March the 16th, but that now is those FA Cup dates. So that game will be getting moved, but we don't know when yet, because it's going to depend on how we both do in the Champions League as well. And we're talking about the cup final, but it just comes to my head, and I'd love to get your opinions on it quickly. Just to make it even more of a more special day for us on Sunday, them lot across the road are playing Liverpool before our cup final.
Ooh.
That would just top the day right off if they could win, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd absolutely love it. I'm going to be sat there with a pint and it won't be somewhere watching that,
hoping for Manchester United
to win. I can't wait. After the Green Manor,
a weird sense though, right? Isn't that weird?
Do you know what? As well, looking at them last night, I think they can do this. I think they'll want to do it for Manchester.
And I think as well, it's a bit of payback, because back on January the 3rd, they were all doing it for us. When we played Liverpool, all the United fans wanted us to win. And it is a weird sensation.
Bizarre.
It is a weird sensation. But I think we can do that.
It's bizarre, and it makes me slightly uncomfortable.
You look physically ill in this year.
Like,
someone
pass
a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, I do want them to win.
It's weird that their fate, this season's fate, could rest United's hands so much in terms of ours and theirs. But obviously, that game will be rearranged. And I looked as well at the fixture schedule. We've got an international break after that game, so the earliest it's going to be played is 3 weeks after that match. So it could be like mid-April. So we're looking at a couple of games before
something's
going to
happen, and it's all going to be bumped. So it's like the last game of the season, or the last week of the season.
I mean, obviously it won't be the last game, but it's going to be so close to me. I'm not sure I can handle that, because who knows.
Hopefully we've got it wrapped up by then and we can all breathe. But another game that's happening this weekend as well, it's a super busy exciting weekend. There's another cup final happening this weekend, and that is City Women, and they are in the final. It's the women's equivalent of the Carabao Cup. It's the Continental Cup final. So if you didn't know, City Women have made that to the final again. It's they're playing Arsenal, and it's the third time that they've actually played Arsenal in the final stage, and they actually played Arsenal last season as well. They've previously won the trophies in 2014, 2016, but they lost in the final last year. It's being played at Bramall Lane. It's 12:15 on Saturday. Now, if you have your tickets already, the club are actually putting on free coach travel to take anyone to Sheffield. So make a weekend, do two cup finals in a weekend.
Oh, wow. And isn't that brilliant that the ladies team could actually win a trophy before the men's team this season as well? I think that's something.
A very, very blue weekend, couldn't it?
Two trophies in a weekend, that'd be absolutely incredible.
So to now, basically, we've got a minute left. So, guys, your predictions for this Carabao Cup final, how's it going to go? Personally, I feel confident. I think we'll win. I'm going to have a 3-1, I reckon.
3-1, I was going to say that. I think we'll win. I think we'll come out the traps fast. And then I think Chelsea will get back into it a little bit. But yeah, I'm expecting to see either a cup or a trophy, whatever we decide it is. On Sunday.
Yeah, I just want it to be an exciting game, like blood and thunder. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, see, I think we'll get plenty of that. I reckon, though, having said that, Chelsea, these days, the fans are in turmoil. They're absolutely going...
they need it.
They were calling to sack last night of the game, weren't they? So.
Yeah, they need it. So, thank you so much for listening again. We really appreciate your time, whether you're listening live on XS Manchester or you've downloaded our podcast. We really appreciate it. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and hopefully City will bring a trophy home. So the next time that the Manchester City Football Social is on, we'll be talking, hopefully, about our first trophy of the season. Come on!
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
So there we did manage to do the show. We talked about the three different cups that we're in, and obviously there's the Premier League, which we parked to one side. Next year when we do this show, it's going to be so much more complicated, because we'll have to factor in the World Champion Cup thing that FIFA does as well.
I'm leaving, guys. See you.
Amazing. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet, please subscribe. Please give us 5 stars. Give us a little review. Happy days, everybody. Hopefully we'll speak to you next time when we've got at least one of the trophies sewn up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.